Welcome, everyone, to the chat. I'm coming to you from the beautiful city of Columbus, Indiana. My name is Nida Evans, and I am the host for the chat. It airs each Saturday morning from 9 to 10 o'clock on radio station WYGS, and it can be live streamed from its website. The chat is also available on Google, Apple, and Spotify podcasts. Today, I'm chatting with Stephanie Phillips. Stephanie is a dental hygienist, and she's also a Bible Study Fellowship class administrator. She's married to Dr. Greg Phillips, who is a periodontist in Columbus, Indiana. Oh, I might add, too, that they have two sons. We'll be right back with the chat.
I'm stepping out of the boat, for the Savior is
today, I'm chatting with Stephanie Phillips. Stephanie is a dental hygienist. She's also a Bible Study Fellowship class administrator. She's married to Dr. Greg Phillips, who is a periodontist here in Columbus. So good to have you today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Good to be with you. Will you tell us about your family?
I have two sons. Actually, the youngest just turned 33 this week, and the older is 36. They're neither married, so single girls out there, you can certainly reach out. Also, a great niece who lived with us for 7 years. Her name's Sophia, and she is doing well and in Indianapolis now. So
sounds
she's
like
she's 21.
Sounds like a sweet family.
Yeah.
When did you come to know Jesus and have a personal relationship with him? That's so important for us to be able to get the message out about how people come and when they come to know Jesus. What about you, Stephanie?
I grew up going to parochial school and learned the prayers and things that made me know about God. But it wasn't until I was in high school that I began becoming involved in a group called Young Life. And in Young Life, weekly got together and did things. And I learned about Jesus as my Savior at that time, I think. And then as an adult, through Bible Study Fellowship, I really believe I learned about Jesus being my Lord. And so it took time over years to really cement that relationship and really understand who Jesus was for me.
What's that relationship like today? How would you describe it?
Oh, I can't imagine a day without the Lord. And I'm so thankful that he's brought me to where he has, you know, even bringing us to Columbus, Indiana, from where we lived before. It was definitely a God-led move when we even came to Columbus. So we're happy to be here.
When we think about after becoming a Christian, that God gives us a passion in a certain area of ministry. Has God given you a passion?
When I was in my dental hygiene program, I knew the Lord led me there. And I knew when I graduated, you know, I didn't know where he was going to take me with that. But I knew that what I do is one-on-one with people. And so I always have a wonderful opportunity to talk with people and share with them things that the Lord's doing in my life. And hopefully we have shared conversations where they can share things that are happening for them as well. And, you know, it's kind of a special time when you can be one-on-one with people.
Oh, yes. Yes. Just to be involved, get to know people.
Over time, yeah.
Yes. Is there an area or two in your life where God is working on you to make you more like Jesus?
No, always. He's always growing my trust in him, you know, whether, and I think I trust him very well, and then he'll show me that I can trust even more. And so he'll take me to a new place, like coming here.
He's good at doing that, isn't
yeah.
he? And he does it with each of us, not just Stephanie Phillips, but
right.
he does it with Nida Evans and everyone else as well.
Right.
The chat has a theme song, and that theme song is called Stepping Out. And in this song, it talks about how God wants us to get out of the boat and trust him in areas where he can grow our trust. Has he done that in your life?
Oh, of course. The biggest one I can think of is when we took Sophia as her guardians. She was 7 years old. We had her for 7 years till she was 14. And at that time, had to make the decision to let her go back to her family. And that was a difficult decision. But we knew that we had done what we could do. And we trusted the Lord with her. And today she's doing great. And I'm thankful. And we've kept our relationship open. And we still see one another. As a matter of fact, last week she called me to go to Ivy Tech with her because she wants to take some classes. And so she asked if I would go with her because she didn't want to go alone.
It is tough letting go, isn't it? Of someone that you probably were her mother to. And that relationship that is so deep. And then for God to expect you, or not just expect, but to want you and Greg to let her go so that God can work with her.
Right.
That's a tough one. I'd like to get into your prayer life. Do you have a special place you go to when you're praying? Or tell me about that.
I don't know. I think it's an ongoing thing throughout the day. And I definitely have a place that I sit and do my Bible study and pray there. But, you know, I can be in my car driving places and I'm praying according to what's going on that day. So certainly don't have a prayer closet or a place like that. I would love to do that, but I've just never felt led that that's how I had to do it.
You know, Stephanie, I think most women are like you in that most women, wherever they are, whether it's in their car or maybe at their desk at work or whatever, they're, you know, praying and that sort of thing. I happen to have a prayer closet, but that's what works for me and how my relationship with Christ has developed a little differently from maybe yours. But that's how God is working, you know, in your life and in my life as well. Can you take us through a day in the life, in the prayer life of Stephanie Phillips, starting before you get out of bed, and take us through a day?
Oh, yeah. Certainly when I wake up in the morning, I'm always praying on my mind, you know, Lord, make this day what you would have it to be. And then just as I go through my morning, getting ready for work or going, whatever happens to be going on that day, if it's different, I don't know that I have a specific prayer. I mean, sometimes it's just talking to God as I'm going along. It's not necessarily that I'm on my knees or with my hands crossed. I used to think, you know, that was a microphone of some sort.
Right.
And that's the only way I could pray.
Right.
But then, you know, now I've just developed a conversation with the Lord all day long. And sometimes I'm frustrated about something and I'll say something that I shouldn't. And I'll say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry, you know, because I've done something stupid. And so I'll just move on to the next thing. And he's just with me through the day. I don't feel like it's never not, I'm never not in touch. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And then when I go to bed, I'm praying, thank you, Lord, for this day and what you've done and how we've gotten through things.
I think of it as God being central in our lives when we do that. He's always there. Mm-hmm. And no matter what I'm doing, I'll pop in on him and talk to him for a little bit. Or ask him a question even at times, but it kind of central to our lives.
Yeah.
Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I do.
Are there any prayers that God has specifically laid on you to pray for yourself?
I don't know. I guess I grew up with my parents telling me, you know, don't be stuck on yourself. So it's hard to pray for myself, honestly, because I just never feel like I want to pray for other people more than I want to pray for myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So in praying for ourselves, sometimes it is hard for us because we don't want it to be egocentric, but yes, needs to be sometimes that way so that we're aware and asking God to work with us on some areas where we need working with. Can you give us a couple of prayers that God has answered for you?
Well, certainly the prayers about having taken on Sophia and having her come back and reach out to me now. She'll call me 3 or 4 times a week even. And my children too, both my boys will reach out, you know, once or twice a week and call me which is always special when you know they're asking, just asking or just wanting to talk. And boys don't always do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a text. When my husband and I were young and married with our young children when we first moved to Columbus, we were having a little struggle with our marriage. God redeemed it and brought us back together and made it better than it ever would have been. And I had a sister going through a similar situation in her marriage, and unfortunately, they ended up in divorce. And so we prayed as hard for her as we did for me.
Mm-hmm.
And my prayer was answered, yes. And unfortunately, hers wasn't. But she's in a good marriage now, and, you know, Lord knows what he's doing.
If God could answer two prayers, what would those prayers be? What would those answers be?
That both my sons would come to him, and that if they're to marry, that he pre-bring them the wife that he would have for them.
You're wanting grandkids, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Maybe not yet.
I'm okay with that, without that, but I just would like for them to be content, whatever that is.
Are there any other prayers, maybe, if God was to answer for you, what they would be? No?
He answers.
Yeah.
When they come.
He's constantly working, isn't he?
Yeah.
Has God ever disappointed you?
No. Thankfully, he hasn't. I mean, I think the prayers that he didn't answer that I might have prayed when I was young, I think now, you know, I don't pray those things. But at that time, I might have prayed for a certain person to be my husband, and that was not who he intended. Mm-hmm. And that was a good thing.
Sometimes we pray prayers that later we realize, boy, am I glad that God didn't answer that prayer, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's the way we work as followers of his sometimes. Yeah. Well, in your prayer life then, as we wrap up that particular area, do you pray as much as you wish you did or as you would like to, or what about that?
I would definitely like a fuller prayer life. I would like for him to lead me to do more prayer for others as much as for myself and my family and whomever else he might lead me to do.
In other words, do we pray as much as we think God would want us to?
Right. And I'd say no, I don't.
And I would say I don't either as much as he would like. But I want to. Don't you want to?
Yeah.
Don't you want
Absolutely.
To do? Well, let's get into blessings now. What are the two greatest blessings, or two of the greatest blessings that God has bestowed upon you? God overdoes it, doesn't he, for each of us? Mm-hmm. He blesses us beyond what we could ever hope for. What about you?
Well, I think my work, for one thing. I always have felt like, as, again, I know as a hygienist, you don't think I'd do that much, but because you have relationships with all these different people that you can share with, that has always been a blessing to me, to get to know people and to get to be able to share things with them that are going on in my life, or hear things that are going on in their life, and then be able to come back and say, how did that work out? And so just keeping relationships going. I think also he's kind of given me the gift of discernment, so I can sometimes feel when he wants me to ask a question of someone that I might not know very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a gift.
It is a gift. And too, what that does is when you're talking to other people, it gives them an opportunity to talk about, you know, if they're followers of Christ, something God has done for them recently or whatever, just in conversation. So that blessing.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think you're a blessing to other people?
Yeah. Again, that's one of those things. I won't talk about myself that way.
But you know, Stephanie, you know, I don't know you very well. But what I do know of you, what a blessing you are to many, many people.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
As we look next at devotions, you know, as women of faith, there has to be times when we take time away from everything else and get into God's word, just time in devotion to him, to let him know how much we love him and to set that time to show him what he means to us. Do you have a time of devotion?
I've been involved with Bible Study Fellowship for 31 years this year. And so it has really changed my life in that I've been in the Word, and it teaches me to take time daily to spend with him. And so that devotion is part of Bible Study Fellowship, or is the study that we do every year is part of that devotion. I have lots of others. I mean, there's so many wonderful devotions out there now with apps. And, you know, I get a Bible verse of the day comes every day on my phone, and I enjoy that. And I, you know, so again, those are just small bits of time during the day that I can devote, and maybe not all at once. And Bible Study Fellowship's the same. I'll do a big hunk of it at once and then come back to it later in the week. I don't always even get to it every day, which I wish I did, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not my habit.
That's nice when devotions are divided up into smaller sections for some who don't have as much time in one sitting to be able to do those things. Well, I'm enjoying our chat, Stephanie, but we've got to take a break. We'll be right back with the chat.
I'm stepping out of the boat, for the Savior is near.
We're back with the chat, and I'm chatting with Stephanie Phillips. And Stephanie, I'm really enjoying getting to know about your walk with Christ. I want to talk just a little bit more about your devotion time. What do you do, you know, whether it's music or what all you do during most of those devotion times?
I really prefer it be quiet during my devotion time or during my study time. So I will sit down quietly, usually with a cup of tea sitting next to me on the couch. And then I have my Bible and my maybe a devotion as well. And I talked about that I do like Wisdom for the Moment is one that I use. Sometimes I use My Utmost for His Highest. And those are just short devotions with a scripture and then kind of an explanation of what might be going on. Those are helpful to me. I also like to use my Bible study format and work with that. But I usually pray to begin with and ask the Lord to lead me through what he wants me to learn that day as I'm studying. And then we'll move on to the questions and answers, and then maybe go back through the scripture that we're reading that week. He just leads me through it. I don't have a format, I don't think, but I love that the Lord gives me something new when I study it again in another year or even the next day. And then, of course, I love sharing with the other women that we get a chance to share with so that we can learn from one another what God is doing.
Well, I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but I'm going to ask you one where you have to answer about yourself. Of the 9 fruits of the Spirit, which one do you think you rate the highest in? Come on now, you got to answer.
I'm going to try. I used understanding. I think the Lord gives me understanding about situations or even my own heart, what might be going on that's different than what I think is going on at times. And so that my response to a situation might be different because he's changed my understanding of it.
And that's where the discernment you were talking about earlier comes into play, is he gives you an extra knowledge there that will help you along the way. What about the lowest? What do you rate the lowest in?
Piety.
Is that in there?
It is.
Well, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, just that, you know, I don't think, like I said, I'm on my knees enough in my prayer life. And so maybe that's what he needs to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now, let's get into life verses and favorite verses. Do you have a life verse? Some do, some women don't. But you, what about you?
I have many favorite verses, but Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. And that one has always meant a lot to me, that I was called by him, that he has a purpose for me, and I trust that. I also love Proverbs 3:5-6, of course. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I've seen that in my life. When I trust him, he straightens the path that is going very crooked sometimes.
I know this is a question, you weren't expecting this, but can you use one of those as an example? When did God use one of your favorite verses in your life?
Well, like I talked about a little bit earlier, Greg and I struggled when he was first getting his practice starting. We had spent 3 years apart. He had actually been gone during the week and was back on the weekends. And we had had our second child during that time as well. And so, you know, it was a struggle kind of coming back together as a family. During that time, we separated for a short time, and that decision was difficult, but we knew we didn't want to divorce, but we didn't know how to be together at that time.
Yes.
And so just the Lord was there with me, and I know he kept my love alive, spark of love for my husband, and I wanted to be together, and he worked it out. It smoothed out, and we came back together, and we've been married 41 years now.
But to look back and see how God helped you too through that.
Right.
And used that scripture in your life.
Absolutely.
What about biblical accounts? I kind of would like to know, what are a couple of your favorite biblical accounts? Now, we realize that there are hundreds and hundreds of those in God's Word, but are there a couple that stand out to you?
I've always loved the story of Esther, and I really didn't study that till I was older, so for such a time as this, and God has always brought me to places that I would never have thought I would be, and has used me in ways I never imagined being used, the jail ministry, for instance. And so I trust him for all of that. So Esther, just for such a time as this, you know. And then I always love the story of Abraham taking Isaac up to the mountain to sacrifice him, and then God providing the lamb for them and stopping him from, I mean, I can't imagine taking a child up and being willing to sacrifice him. But he knew God could bring him back to life if he had to.
And what God teaches us today, because of the story of Esther and because of the story of Abraham, those biblical accounts and how they minister and teach us even today. Yeah, you pick a couple of many of our favorites. Do you have two in particular? Favorite women in the Bible? I know you've talked about Esther, certainly,
yes.
But are there some other women that you look to?
Of course, Martha and Mary together. Sisters, I have three sisters that I grew up with, so sisters always meant a lot, but just thinking about how they loved the Lord differently, and that's okay. They still love the Lord, and so it's wonderful to have sisters to share that with. And I've lost two of my sisters, but I still have one, and she is a believer, and we love one another, and we're Martha and Mary.
She's the opposite of you, huh?
Well, we're different, but we both love the Lord, and that's the important thing.
You're right. That's the main thing as we look at women in Scripture and the different ones that stand out to us that minister to us. And you've just mentioned Esther and Mary and Martha, and you probably think about Ruth and Naomi as well.
Of course. Love Ruth and Naomi.
And we can see ourselves in each of them, can't we?
Right. We put, you know, take ourselves out of our comfort zones like Ruth was willing to move out of her own country and stay with her mother-in-law.
as we look at those women, and how often are we willing to do whatever it is, however it is, that God leads us, the importance of that. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Let's talk about mentoring. Have you had any mentors in your life?
When I was in the Young Life program that I got involved with as a teen, one of the things they did for us is gave us an older woman who did Bible study with me. Her name was Helen, and Helen came every week. At that point, I didn't drive. She came and picked me up. We would do a Bible study together. She would give me questions for the next week, and we'd meet again the following week. We did that for many months, and then she even would have me over to make Christmas cookies or candy or whatever, and you know, let me take some home to my family. And that was really special to have someone outside of my family that I could learn to trust and learn about the Lord from. And then just Bible study fellowship itself, the way it's set up, you have a leader who becomes a mentor of sorts, and every year. And then once I was in leadership, then of course the team leader became my mentor. And over the years, I've had Jane Newton and Joan Eversole now. And at nighttime, I was in that class as well. And so, I don't know, it's all been wonderful having ladies that you can trust and talk to and ask to pray about things that are happening in your life.
What are some things you have learned from these women who are walking close with Christ?
Well, certainly examples of what it's like to walk close with Christ, but also being challenged to do more, step out in faith when you really wouldn't necessarily want to do it.
And the encouragement that you receive from each other. You did it? Okay. Then that means that I can do it as well.
Right.
As you were talking about the example of those women. Well, have you mentored anyone?
I'd like to think I mentor people through Bible study and then through church. And just, again, with my niece who lived with us, I mentor her. I hope I continue to mentor her through life.
I think that wherever you are mentoring. But I think that about each of us, that wherever we are, there are people that have their eyes on us, seeing how we're going to respond in given situations and all of that, and how we are mentoring, whether we like it or not, and whether it's good or not. We are still affecting people. So that's one of the things that you were saying about Bible study fellowship. You're mentoring each other, don't you think?
Yeah.
You've got the leader.
Right.
The main teaching leader. But then you have all the other women in the group you're learning from and encouraging each other from and all of that.
Yeah, I see that's where the value is in being in small groups and having time to share with one another what's going on. And how they're learning from the scripture, how to apply it in today's day.
And that's the important thing, is what you're learning from each other from scripture.
Right.
Which is our guideline,
right,
the guide for our lives. And so when we're learning that and spending time together and going deeper in each other's lives, that's how God uses that, I think, mm-hmm, in a mentoring aspect of it.
And we mentor one another.
Yes,
right.
Peer mentoring.
Yeah.
Well, I'm enjoying our chat, Stephanie. We've got to take another break, though. We'll be right back with the chat.
I'm stepping out of the boat, for the Savior is near. I'm stepping out. I'm stepping out of the boat, for the Savior.
We're back with the chat, and I'm chatting with Stephanie Phillips, and we were just talking about mentoring and how interesting it is to learn how we, as women of faith, how we truly are mentoring others, even when we don't realize we're doing that. I'd like to get into an area now that is tough is tough for all of us to talk about, and that is struggles. As women of faith, too, we all experience struggles, times when we need help beyond ourselves and where God can work through and help us. Have there been any struggles in your life? I say that.
And when have there been struggles in our lives, right?
Right. When haven't there?
Yeah, right.
When haven't there been times of struggle?
Right.
Well, let's talk about that now. Will you share that with us?
As I grew up, my father was an alcoholic. And so learning how to navigate that, I tried to do things that I knew they could approve of and that would make them look good. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then as we grew older, all three of my siblings became alcoholics as well, and my mother. And so over that time, I was the first one to become a Christian in my family, and I knew that the Lord saved me from that. And so with that struggle, I knew He would use that in my life because I got through it.
You were victorious, right?
Right. He showed me that I could, get through that. And so now I see what a blessing it is. My sister is recovered and is doing well, and I see that she is a blessing to others because she can share about that situation in her own life. And for me, I can share about it from my perspective. But then we have also one of our sisters committed suicide. And not knowing whether she was a Christian or she wasn't, and my oldest sister just passed away, and the same with her. But I trust the Lord, not knowing, because He knows what's best, and I couldn't make the decision for them. And so I have to set it aside and trust that with each of my family members, not knowing for sure where they were with their walk with the Lord, He's taught me that I can trust Him still.
Not know and still trust.
Right.
That's what faith is.
Right.
Knowing without knowing.
Right.
And trusting the only one that we can trust.
The Lord Jesus.
Yes. Well, as you were talking about growing up in an alcoholic home, did you know that 70% of children who grow up in a home where at least one alcoholic present become alcoholics themselves? 70%.
I had no idea it was that high.
Yes. And to think that God redeemed you through all of that, and how now you were talking about being part of the rec program and being
right.
in the local jails and ministering there, and how someone like you who has been through what you have been through and what God has brought you through, the story of redemption that you can share with many in there who probably have difficulties with alcohol, how you have been able to and will continue to minister to others, that you give them hope, that God through you gives them hope that there's more than what they're dealing with whenever they turn to Him and allow Him to work in their lives, clean up their lives, and to actually have a relationship with Him. What an encouragement, Stephanie, you must be. And how pleased I am sure Christ is with you and how He's able to use this in your life. Something bad, He has turned to good.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking about mentoring long ago. Hey, girl, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. and the importance of those who have no hope, that God can give them hope through you. And then talking about your sister and committing suicide and how difficult that has been for you, not knowing whether or not she knew Christ before she did that. But to see your trust, again, mentoring, you're showing the world that you can trust Jesus and not have all the answers about anything. Mm-hmm. You can still trust him. During these struggles, has God brought any scriptures to you to uplift you, to encourage you, to help you as you have gone through these things?
I mean, I go back to Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
So in all things, and he was reminding you that it does not matter what the struggle is, and you've had
good and bad.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But God is able to work that out in your life and in each of our lives, the various struggles that we're in. During these times as well, has God given you a song that would minister to our listeners today, that ministered to you during those times, that encouraged you?
There's a hymn that I grown to love, and it's "May the Mind of Christ My Savior," and it's "Live in me from day to day. May his love and power controlling all I do and say." Just the whole, all the verses speak to me and teach me to be attentive to what God can do through me and in me.
Talking about having the mind of Christ.
Right.
Let's listen to "May the Mind of Christ My Savior." That's a good hymn. The words to that, I can see why that is a favorite of yours, Stephanie. And yes, it would be encouraging, whether your particular favorite genre, whatever it is, worship music or whatever, but this song certainly speaks to each of us. I'd like to give you a couple of minutes to talk to the listeners today about anything you feel like God would have you to say. Has he laid anything on your heart that he wants you to talk to us about?
I think he wants me to talk about trust, and that it grows, and that if you give him just a little bit, he'll teach you how to give him a little bit more. And over the years, you'll be surprised at how that changes over your lifetime. And that he's worthy of our trust. I saw a little devotional that said, in happy moments, praise God, and in difficult moments, seek God. And in quiet moments, worship God. In painful moments, trust God. But in every moment, thank God. And that's what I want to do. Thank God today.
Will you pray with us?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time together. And Lord, we pray that the words that we use will glorify you and will encourage each other. And Lord, I just trust that you will take everything that's been said here and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Talking about glorifying God, the main focus of the chat is to be to lift Jesus high as possible, so that as we point others to Jesus, that he will be glorified. It's been good to have you on the chat today, to get to see your walk with Christ and how things have happened in your life that maybe not many people know about, but to hear them and to hear how God has worked through those to strengthen, encourage, and use those times to mentor. Again, that word comes up, to mentor and to help others have a closer walk with Jesus.
I pray that's true.
I know it's true. We thank you for listening today, and we appreciate all of you who are listening to the chat. I look forward to future times when we can once again sit and have a chat.
I'm stepping out of the boat, for the Savior is near. I'm stepping out, 'cause he wrote.